everyone.
Let's get dangerous.
This is all good.
I know.
It feels so right.
With KCE.
He's opening our minds to new ideas. Kill him.
Who is that guy?
Your mama.
You just made the list.
Oh, wait, you're serious. Let me laugh even harder.
It's all in football.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No, turn.
What is up, you ducks? It is All in Football on FTN, and talking some athletic over here with Chris Vanini. Make sure you're following him. And if you were interested in today's show and saw, we were talking college football specifically. A lot of college football video game, but maybe some WWE in there. I know he noticed the Chris Jericho in the intro. I always find it interesting when guests come on and like they don't. You can't tell me you expected that for the intro, Chris, could you?
No, I was impressed with all of that. Very well done.
A little fun to start things off. If you're listening in July, as a heads up, you might be listening to the old stream because we've been trying to fix the issue forever. And if you're listening in July, there is a new one. So make sure you check out on Twitter or basically anybody out there pumping it out and say that make sure you're following the right stream because this one's going to be gone soon. We are trying to fix it. We finally will. But speaking of fixing things, EA has fixed the long issue, Chris. It is now going to be 11 years, and we get the return of arguably top five football game, top five sports game, top five video game of all times, the return of college football. I know you've been covering it a lot. Actually, over at The Athletic, make sure everybody goes and checks out the articles. He's got questions, mailbags, all sorts of good stuff. Is this the most anticipated game for you in the last 10 years, Chris?
I might say it's the only anticipated game for me of the last 10 years. I mean, like, I haven't gotten a new system since I got a 360 at my wedding reception 12 years ago. Wow. I've had a 360 and a PS2 that I've had since I was a kid. I continued to play NCAA Football 13. When COVID happened, I bought MVP Baseball 05 and Madden 05 to play. So, like, when NCAA football went away, and as I graduated college and kind of started on with my life, I just kind of got out of it and didn't have time nor as much interest because college football was a game I played all the time for the most part. So, yes, it's the most anticipated game for me and also the only. And I think that there's a lot of people in that boat. I've talked to a lot of people who have said, like, hey, I haven't bought a console in 10 years. Like, what do I do? Which one am I supposed to get? And I was in that boat. Briefly,
I think what kind of got glossed over there might be the most impressive part of that is that you have a 360 that still works and hasn't gotten the red ring of death. I think that's actually the most impressive part.
Yeah, my brothers did back in the day. This one never has. So maybe I got the good one.
You found the golden one. So college football comes out. You've already played some of it. You've already covered it a lot. I just right off the top, this week they're releasing a lot of things. If people haven't seen today or whenever you're listening to this, today being Tuesday, they ranked the top play. Well, they went 25th, right? 25 spots, the top 25 toughest places to play in college football. Right off the top, how did you feel about those rankings? Do you feel like they got them mostly right? Do you think that we're talking maybe the video game people don't really know the aspects of playing in some of the stadiums, maybe overrated, underrated? What was your thoughts when you saw the list?
I think it's mostly right with a handful of really surprising spots. I think Alabama at 2 was very surprising. Oklahoma at 8 was very surprising. Tennessee down at 13, Notre Dame down at 21, I think. Very surprising. No Nebraska, no Washington. Very surprising. But the rest of it's fine. LSU's 3, I'd put it 1. I'm not going to blow a gasket over it being 3 instead of 1. Texas A&M, it's fine. I think going LSU would have been just easiest for everybody. No controversy there. But, you know, rankings are made for people to get upset about. And so there are some things we got upset about. But for the most part, it's mostly fine.
It's mostly, I saw that in the list too. Tell me, I'm a Notre Dame fan. I pulled my hat somewhere over here. I'm a Notre Dame fan. I'm surprised that you think that's low. Do you think it's the pressure of playing in Notre Dame, or why do you think Notre Dame should have been higher?
That's a really loud place. They had like a 26-game home winning streak like not that long ago, I think. I've been there for a handful of games. I think SEC fans don't realize how loud it gets there. It is a really special place to play. Notre Dame wins a ton there. I think back to like the 1988 Michigan game when they got penalized for being too loud, back when that was a thing that you could get penalized for. There's just so many big games over history there. 21 was really low. I'm not saying it's number one, but you know, around top 10 is where I would have figured.
Yeah, like I see some in there, and I'm just kind of like, is it really? Like Oregon 11? I mean, Oregon feels kind of, might be either way on that one.
Oregon's a good one. Honestly, Oregon might have been a little bit low. I would have certainly put it really? In like Oklahoma. You know, in that top 10 range is kind of where I would have had Oregon. It used to be number one, like back in the day, back in the old games. I think it used to be near the top.
Yeah, five, 10 years ago. My biggest problem with Notre Dame, I've been there once. We actually got some tickets from some people that gave us the suites, and we went, it was 30 degrees. And they're like, you'll be fine. There's heaters in the suites outside in the seats. And so I dressed like it was like 50 degrees outside. Here's the problem, Chris. They put the heaters on in the most asinine way. They're on the ceiling. For anybody that knows how physics work, heat rises. So when the heat's blowing down and there's just a little bit of a breeze, it goes nowhere. So it was beyond freezing. The heat did not do any help. I was severely underdressed for it. So I'm a little upset with that one. But to go further into this, what do you think, like being upset, from people who send in your mailbag questions, for people who have been talking about this game, what do they seem to be like most upset about that's missing from this game?
I don't know if anybody's upset. Well, there are a couple things. I think the main reason people are upset is because they don't like EA Sports. People are very mad at EA Sports for various things over the years, microtransactions, the quality of Madden, all that kind of stuff. And I get that. I'm someone who has not played every EA Sports game over the last 10 years, but I'm completely aware of the issues that have been going on there. I think the biggest complaint of something that's not in the game was that you can't export draft classes to Madden.
Okay.
That was something we all used to do back in the day.
Right. Yeah.
But the reason is pretty simple, and it's that they only have the players' licenses for their college likeness and nothing more. Because when they go to the NFL, they join the NFLPA, but they don't join the NFLPA till like the spring. And at that point, you know, you're getting ready for the next round of Madden games and all that stuff. So they just legally can't. They legally can't let you take a real player or even a fake player from Dynasty mode college football and put it into Madden. You can export your Road to Glory character into Superstar mode in Madden, but you can't export draft classes for a pretty simple legal reason. But that is the one thing that I've seen people upset about.
Yeah, I can see that. I remember doing that and then trying to figure out who were my recruited players, like my players I built up through my college team, and like try to figure out and trade into spots to see like if I got them right. A lot of times, not so much. But what about the gameplay side of things? Are we going to see? Because I will tell you this, for somebody like you who hasn't been playing for a while, the biggest complaint I think on Madden side is like you're just rolling out the same Madden every single year with a small tweak. Like, oh, rushing's a little bit better this year, or oh, they added this to the passing game. But overall, you're basically playing Madden 18 in Madden 2024. So how is the gameplay, in your opinion, especially for somebody who hasn't been playing for a long time outside of NCAA 14, the passing, the rushing, play calling, like how does that feel for you?
It was, I thought it was very good. I mean, if you're somebody who hadn't played since the NCAA 14 days, it's infinitely better. We did also test Madden 25 when we were there. It did feel different between college football and Madden. There are some things that feel different. More than anything, running the ball was a lot of fun. And that has not really ever been the case before. I know, like I've played Madden 24 and all that stuff too. And the AI blocking is much better, I felt, to what it's been before. And the tackling is a lot different now. And so you're rewarded if you hit the hole. You're rewarded if somebody doesn't take a good angle on you. So I found myself running the ball way more than I would have expected. I had a lot of fun doing that. Passing the ball is a challenge. They've got like a meter now, something you could turn on in Madden last year, I know. And that was an adjustment. I threw quite a few interceptions. I think it'll be an adjustment for everybody to just kind of figure that out. I don't know if you can turn it on or off. But it also, it's not like if you throw it too hard, if you miss the ideal area, your throw is off by a mile. You know, it's just, it is what it is. So, it felt fun. And I mean, with college football though, too, I mean, half the fun is that you're just running completely different kinds of plays. You know, like Madden's got some RPOs, but like, it's all pretty much the same stuff. College is totally different. Yeah, college, you've got the option. You've got heavy RPO teams. By the way, I committed quite a few illegal man downfield penalties as I figured out the RPO game. So that's accurate. You got to get that ball out quick, and if you don't, your linemen are going to be downfield. You've got option. You've got air raid. You've got all kinds of different things. There's 134 different playbooks. There's 10 different playbook styles.
So they legit like feel different. Like it's not like, oh, this college is the same playbook as this one is this one. They actually like feel like the colleges we know.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't played with everybody. I played with about 20 teams. But like I spent like 20 minutes with Wake Forest, you know, just to kind of figure out their RPO offense. They're supposed to have some slow mesh in there. It wasn't quite in there yet. And that all was a lot of fun. But it was a lot of getting used to.
Okay, what about the atmosphere and all that type of stuff? Because that's one of I think part of the appeal of the NCAA games over the Madden is the, you know, the theme songs or the college school songs, call them theme songs, the college schools, you know, the mascots, the stuff, like just like that atmosphere just feels so much different. How do they do with, I mean, again, 11-year layoff here, does it feel even better than what we used to remember? Like in our heads, we might have this like, you know, you kind of play that like, oh, I remember back in the day. Did they at least measure up to what we think in our heads of what we remember?
Yeah, I mean, this is what took forever to build the game. Just all, like they took us through all the work that went into designing the stadiums. And this is truly like an unreal amount of detail. And every team is different. It's not like a generic team coming out of the tunnel. Everybody has their own unique entrance, various different things. The first thing I did when I got the game was pull up Virginia Tech because I wanted to see Enter Sandman. But they don't have Enter Sandman. Turns out the licensing for Metallica is extremely
just a
expensive.
Little bit. I was gonna
yeah,
say a little
Metallica,
bit
not exactly famous for just kind of letting people use their music. But they have a
House
another
of
rock song. Jump they got around. Some other rock songs. There is no jump around. The ones that are actual songs, those are mostly not in there. The ones, The real songs they do have are Sandstorm, Zombie Nation, Welcome to the Jungle, Mo Bamba, and Tsunami.
Okay.
So those are like things you play during a game to kind of get people pumped up.
Okay.
But yeah, everybody's different. It was fun. I played again like 20, 25 different teams because I was just trying to flip between teams to get a feel for what everybody was like because everybody's completely different.
Did you do Clemson? Do they actually have them running down?
I did not do Clemson.
Okay. That's kind of like when you're talking about that, you're making me start thinking about those different things. All right. So wait, did you play Notre Dame?
No.
I'm curious if they actually, if you get to the end of the game, do they do where they're like the post game where they all go stand in front of the stands?
I did not get post game for anybody because we had like 3 hours and I'm just trying to get through as many
as I can,
try possible. Different things. I was doing 10 to 15 to 20 minutes with each team. I may have gotten to one halftime. That's about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So for me, back in the day, and it's kind of like makes sense with you can see like career wise, while this makes sense, is I didn't spend a lot of time playing the games. I spent 90% of my time in the off season and recruiting and the coaching and the training and like how is that aspect of it and like how do is are NILs involved in this? Like I'm super curious like what they did now in today's world of college football, like what the off season in this game is going to look like. The transfer portal, like that wasn't a thing 10, 11 years ago. Like, so I'm super curious, like, what that's like.
So I haven't played it. We only got to play the actual game for about 3 hours, but we did get a big, huge presentation on what's in Dynasty mode. EA at some point will be coming out with their deep dive on it. But there is a lot different. Transfer portal is in the game,
okay.
But it's basically another part of recruiting. So when you get to the end of your season, you'll have gone through recruiting during the season, and at the end of the season, suddenly there'll be an additional pool of portal guys, and you have to allocate your hours between them and recruits just like you would regular recruiting. I think that's a pretty smart way to do it. You'll have guys who want to leave. You'll try to persuade them to stay, whatnot. You can cut guys, or you can encourage guys to transfer. It's really just cutting them, which is what it really is. And no NIL because in Dynasty mode, because they didn't know how to do it and how to do it right, because yeah. It's changing every 3 to 6 months or some new court ruling that changes what NIL means. And still, technically, you're not allowed to pay a player to come to your school. So it's not like they could set it up like free agency and you just start bidding on a guy, because that's not how it technically is supposed to work. Right. It's against NCAA rules to do that. So they weren't going to do that. You do have NIL in Road to Glory with yourself. It's basically You take a deal, you get some boosts and stuff like that. If you're better on certain teams, you'll get more offers, but you only have a certain amount of hours during each week and you have to allocate them. And if you take an NIL deal, you've got fewer hours to do to academics or to practice or stuff like that. So you're going to have to kind of carry all of that out. So that's the only place that NIL is in the game. Dynasty mode. So like, I was a big Dynasty person. Some people, they're like online competition one-on-ones is what I love to do. For me, it was Dynasty mode. I'm a nonstop Dynasty guy, but I did get a little frustrated in the later years where recruiting had just taken up so much of the game personally. And that's, it made it more realistic. Absolutely. But I love the old days in the mid 2000s when recruiting was just an off season thing. You know, you could play your games. You could just focus on that. You do the off season and then you flip it back. But now it's so big, so in depth. I don't want to spend 90% of my time in the off season, like you said, but the reality is like, that is how it is for a coach. And so like, I get why they did it.
Yeah. I'm actually with you on that. Like, so I said like 90% of my time, but I'm with you in the fact, like, I don't like to spend as much time during the season, like having to keep on top of it and on top of it, on top of it. And like, I want some kind of balance. I agree. They did kind of go too far with that. So before we talk some other things like WWE, what about, like the play, I mean, you mentioned the fact that you had the licensing problem or a player name problem. So can you, because in back when Titan CA 14, like you could change player names, you can change uniforms because like there were no player names back then. So you could do whatever the hell. I have a feeling that's not going to be the same now these days, but maybe uniforms you can still have some fun with. Like how much leeway did they give you with the editing options?
I got way more questions on this than I expected.
Really?
Yeah, real players are in the game, so you don't need to go and do that. You don't need to download a roster like a lot of people used to do. But I got so many questions of like, can I edit their shoulder pads and their helmet style and all this stuff? And I was like, that's not something I'd ever considered like caring about for a real player. Like I just wanted the name. I wanted the real name on the person. I didn't care what size shoulder pad they had. Or
I want thicker thigh pads to show.
Yeah. But it turns out you can. I did check with EA Sports. You can edit the physical look of real players. You cannot edit their attributes. That was something people got a lot upset about too. It's real players in the game, and they want, as part of the NIL deals and all that stuff, they've agreed to keep players where they're at. There'll be patches to make players better or worse, but like, you can't come in and just make some nobody a 99. They're not going to let you do that. So there's that.
So no Riley Leonard being the best quarterback in college football. We're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk a little bit of WWE with you and then some just fun before we get out of here, because a lot of similar taste, and one of them happens to be wrestling. We've actually been on some basically, I don't know what you call them, panels a few times through the athletic years, or like round tables, whatever you call them. So first one off the top, because this actually kind of ties into similarities with college sports, which we're going to talk about at the end real quick before we get out of here. But what was your thoughts on the whole announcement that it's not just WrestleMania now that's going to go to two nights? We might be talking SummerSlam and possibly Royal Rumble being two nights. Feels like, are we getting to the point, Chris, where it's going to be like, this is a little too much to ingest over a full weekend?
I am skeptical that two nights SummerSlams are going to work. WrestleMania made sense because the show had been going 7 hours long.
Yeah.
Like, I got it. And it's actually been refreshing. Two nights is way more fun than one because you're not dead at the end of each night. I think that's been a great call. I just don't know if SummerSlam is that show. And we're not getting a two-nighter until currently at least 2026. This year's is a single night. We don't know the plan next year. 2026 in Minnesota, they said two nights. And then a TBD date in the future, two nights for Indianapolis. I just don't think SummerSlam is that show. Like, it's technically the number two show of the year, but I feel like people are more interested in the Royal Rumble than SummerSlam. And, but, like, WWE is incredibly hot right now, and they're at the point where cities are bidding for them, like they're the Super Bowl or something like that. And, again, not just for WrestleMania. So Indianapolis put together a really, really good package for them to get them to – do a bunch of shows in Indianapolis. WrestleMania, Rumble, next year's Rumble, a TBD WrestleMania, and a TBD two-night SummerSlam. So, like, I get it, but it was also like a year or two ago they wanted to put Money in the Bank at Allegiant Stadium in Vegas. Didn't sell as many tickets as they wanted, then they moved it to an indoor arena. So there are limits to which you can push this, but they're charging ridiculously high prices to their shows in Europe and stuff like that, and people are buying them. So, like, as long as the market's hot, like, you're gonna keep testing it. I'm just skeptical SummerSlam as two nights. It's never really felt like that, especially the last handful of years. It's not been that big of a show. I went to SummerSlam last year in Detroit. There was nothing you could do to make that a two night show unless you've got like The Rock on it or something like that. So we'll see. They're gonna, you know, test the fences, see how far they can push people with ticket prices and nights and stuff like that. And so far, business is good.
So far. So speaking, there you go. Speaking of business, we have the business of potentially Roman coming back for SummerSlam. I just wanted to get your thoughts on, because like, for somebody who is WWE fan, I do watch. Do you watch AEW too? Or are you just WWE, by the way? Just as a sidebar. Okay. Nando, or my former, as you know, former boss, he actually sent me a Darby All In. It's actually a rookie card because it says All In. So he sent me that. I just got that the other day. But back to the Roman situation with the Bloodline right now, I was kind of on the path, like, when the thing started teetering out, like right before WrestleMania, I was like, this might be it. Like, they ran the course. It was such an amazing storyline, one of the best they've ever had, but they hit their breaking point. But they've come back. Circle back around. Now we have Solo in charge. We have three new members. How, like, if Chris, I said, you're in control. Forget Triple H. You're in control from here to SummerSlam. What, I guess, one, do you think Roman comes back for SummerSlam? And then two, is this story, are you invested in this as much as you were before Roman and WrestleMania?
Not before, because that was an all-time build and an all-time story, really. But it does feel like Roman has to come back soon now, because they keep mentioning him on TV quite a lot. Like, they're not shying away from it. I mean, you had Solo the other day, said Roman's not coming back. You know, like, if you say someone's not coming back, that means they're coming back, and you're usually not going to say that if they're not coming back for 9 months. I was curious. I wasn't sure how long Roman would be out. Things had been okay, that you didn't need to bring him back, but it feels like he's probably going to come back by SummerSlam, maybe at SummerSlam. But also, Sika on Hawaii, actually today just died, so that's a family tragedy for them in real life, and I'm not sure any impact, if all, that could have. But you know, Roman, he was doing like a movie or something. They did a remarkable job turning him into a babyface the day after WrestleMania. Like they really did. Like The Rock coming in took all the heat. And I kept thinking, like, why is The Rock the big bad guy here? It should be Roman after all of this. Well, it's because they're immediately turning Roman face. And you had Cody saying Roman did a great job as champion, yada, yada. My real beef is with The Rock and all this stuff. And immediately we got thank you, Roman chance. And so it's just been months of building that when he comes back, he's going to be the most popular guy in the company. He's going to be a bigger star than Cody Rhodes when he comes back. And so that is going to be a really interesting dynamic, how that plays out.
So I definitely agree with you on that. And I thought that was, I think the Rock part of it was, I was surprised as well. I was with you on that. And they masterclass in doing that and having Roman now. People are begging for him to return face-wise. The other interesting one is I was actually 100% like expecting to hate CM Punk when he came back. I was never a Punk fan, to be clear. And then his whole attitude with what leaving, staying away, coming back on AEW, and then that kind of rumors. And of course, we don't know the true story of anything. It's all what that we're given. But when he came back to WWE, I just was like, this is, you know, your last chance. You're only doing it because you have nowhere else to go. But I've been pleasantly surprised. I've been surprised like how much it looks like he's enjoying it, how invested he seems to be in actually making this a good product this time and not only about himself. And you've heard reports, I'm sure you've seen them as well, that the other wrestlers are fans of him coming back and how much he seems to want to help. Have you been a Punk fan? Are you enjoying this second stint of him in the WWE as much as I am?
Punk got me back into pro wrestling after 10, 12 years away. Like, I grew up in the Attitude Era as a kid, like a lot of us. But then when the invasion happened and WCW went away, I kind of fell out of it. Kind of like the NCAA video game. I got to middle school. Wrestling wasn't as interesting. And I made new friends who liked actual sports. And I kind of transitioned into that. And it wasn't until CM Punk was doing stuff with The Rock in 2013, I think, that I like got back into it. Like that's what got me back into it. He's just interesting. He's just immensely interesting, good or bad. It was awesome when AEW got him, his comeback, some of the stuff he did with MJF. Like it was all interesting, but it was also obvious that he was still, that the bad parts of CM Punk were still there. I remember vividly Thanksgiving 2014 when the Colt Cabana podcast episode dropped.
Yeah.
And I'm like with my wife's family in the car and I'm just listening to this podcast. My podcast app had crashed. I had to find it on YouTube. And I'm just like, man, this guy's like a dick. but he made some really interesting points. He also buried Roman Reigns for no reason at all and really impacted his career. So when you're talking about Roman coming back, we get the two of them. It's going to be unbelievable when that happens. But it's so like, I've just always found him interesting. And you could tell at AEW there was a problem and they couldn't fix that problem. And when he came back the second time and was not immediately put into a storyline with the Young Bucks and the Elite, I was like, oh, it's done. Like, how do you not have that massively controversial thing happen and not get everybody together to turn that into a story, turn that into money? That is the history of pro wrestling. A real life bad thing, you turn it into a story and you all make money from it. That's when you're like, oh, this is untenable. And things ended the way they ended there. And when he came to WWE, I got the sense right away that he was like, I don't need to be the guy here. I don't need to be locker room leader. I don't need to say I'm protecting pro wrestling. You notice he's not the old CM Punk since he came back. He's not voice of the voiceless. He's not any of this stuff. He's just, I'm here to get paid and have fun. And if that's all I got to do, I know how to do that. And it feels like there's so much pressure off of him now that he's not trying to live up to something he did in the past. He's just riding a wave that's already going. And he seems to be enjoying the hell out of it.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you. And I think that's why I like him this time around. So last wrestling thing before we move on. And this one's just pretty much going to be a short answer, but you can go in as far depth that you want. The Wyatt Six. First reaction, and do you think this actually continues to work, or is it maybe just a hot flash and gone because of what happened, unfortunately, with Bray Wyatt?
So I was annoyed by all of the clues and the QR codes and all
they
that.
They went
stuff.
A little
because
too
long. The last time we had done this, it went nowhere. Like Bray Wyatt came back and it was cool, but then we got Rabbit and Uncle Howdy. And it was just going nowhere and it was nothing. And it was, and then he got sick and then he died. And it was like, oh man, that was like obviously terrible. And so when we've got this QR code stuff coming back again, I was like, no, this is the thing I didn't like about Bray Wyatt. And I frankly wish I didn't know about the clues. If they hadn't done any of that stuff and just done that debut last week, it would have been like one of the all-time memorable debuts ever. And I still think it was. It was incredible. It was fantastic. I'm really into it. It was just the clue stuff. It was like too much. And then you get that Bo Dallas vignette on Monday that was unbelievable. Like when you have Bo Dallas as Uncle Howdy asking himself, like, how did you feel when your brother died? Or do you feel like you're just taking advantage of your brother's death? That's like, man, those are the questions that people are actually going to ask about that. So to be upfront about that, to take that head on, was a really smart and just kind of raw way to do it. Cause you could feel it. Like Bo was like, I'd finally made it back. Me and my brother were going to do stuff together. And then I lost him. And so like, that is the story. That is how you use a real life thing as part of a wrestling storyline. As obviously tragic as it is, that's what they wanted. And so I'm totally in on it. I think it's been surprisingly really good. What about you?
Cautiously optimistic. I think, like you said, I think we're coming from the same place here. Is the QR codes and like probably ruined it a little bit for me. Like you said, like if I didn't watch WWE for the past 2 months and I just tuned in on Monday Night Raw and that happened, I'd be like, holy blank, you know, like I can't believe. But because of that, I still was, but it just kind of, it was a little bit of like, okay, if we've been here, done this, are you going to be able to execute? And I get like, that's kind of where my question was going. Was like, is this going to get the work? Or are we going to head down this hole that we went with Bray towards the end where it just was kind of meandering and all over the place?
Yeah.
Kind of like this podcast. But before we get out of here, a few more questions. Kind of back to sports. And so college tournaments expanding. So we know NCAA football is happening. And I've seen you tweeting about it that we're talking about for years now. All increasing even more. Are good things, or are you getting to the point where some have argued you're going to just water down the effect of things that we've been trying to prevent this entire time and making the season kind of its tournament itself to get to that point?
I'm a big fan of the college football moving to 12. I think that was the perfect number. It keeps the regular season relevant. It keeps conference championships is very important. I would not change that. I would leave that. Now, history shows playoff tournaments only ever grow. They don't shrink. Could go to 14 as soon as 2026, and I really don't like that idea. But I am really excited for 12, what it's going to do here. Keep a lot more teams just involved as the season goes on and still keep some stakes. Even those big games that won't mean quite as much, like Michigan-Ohio State, where if one team loses, their season's over. It's still going to matter because you want to make the conference championship game because you want to win the conference because then you get a bye. I like that. Basketball, I don't like it. It's just greedy. It's just the big conferences thinking, hey, we got 18 teams in our league. Would sure be nice to get a few extra teams in the end of the tournament, wouldn't it? That's all it is. And we don't even know for sure if CBS and Turner are going to pay more money. Like the NCAA may not get more money for a handful of extra games because they're just going to be first four games, really. But that feels like it's happening. We know who kind of runs things. The Big 12 has been very open about wanting to do it. And if all those big conferences want to expand the tournament, they're probably going to get it. Now, it's only going to be 72 teams, 76 teams. Adding four teams. You're adding eight teams. Just at larges. You'll still need to determine who plays in those, who gets byes and whatnot. But I don't like it. The NCAA tournament is like the one thing everybody's like, no, it's cool. Great. Don't change it. You know, like, I know it's changed in the past. I know it went from 64 to 65 and 65 to 68, but like, just leave it. No,
I feel like that was like, we'll take it, but stop. Like that was kind of like, all right, you've done enough. We kind of accepted it, but like, I'm with you. Just like leave it alone.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to get your opinion on, and I saw you tweet about this, talking about three of the big four sports,
the hockey, basketball, and baseball, not so much football, but how many champion differences we've had over just the past decade plus. And parity, like you even said, like, is parity here? Like, is this, I only want to ask you that, is, do you believe parity is a good thing? Or are you, because I've actually had this conversation on the podcast before, and I've had people come from the other side of it saying, like, the Yankees dynasty in the late 90s, early 2000s, like, that's actually a good thing, because you have some, it's kind of like Roman Reigns in WWE. You have someone people want to hate, and then you see them taken down, and everybody goes crazy when they're finally taken down, versus every year being somebody new winning the championship. It's like, you don't have the Patriots dynasty. You don't have that team to hate. So are you on the pro parity or the anti parity side of things?
I think you have to have some of it. Like, I don't think it's good that, like, in English Premier League, Manchester City, which is my team, that they win every year. I don't think that's a good thing. I also don't think 9 teams winning in 10 years, which is what baseball has had, is a good thing either. NBA is 6-6, NFL 7-8. Because you need dynasties, you need characters, you need villains, you need to build things up. And if everybody's winning, then it just kind of loses that, which kind of took me into one of my kind of, I don't want to say hot takes, but maybe more surprising takes. And that is, I think too many, it's along these lines, but too many records, too many streaks have been broken in like the last like 10 to 15 years. Like the Cubs, like the Red Sox back in 04, like a triple crown in baseball, Aaron Judge home runs. And like, it's like it removes the mythology of sports. It makes it feel more attainable. And I don't think that's necessarily a good thing in the big, big picture. Like, I'm from Detroit. Red Wings won a bunch. Pistons won a title. Tigers had some really good seasons, reached a couple of World Series. Michigan State won a Rose Bowl. But like, once that happened, I just didn't I just didn't live and die with my teams the same way I did. Because I was like, all right, like, cool, we won. I'm good for a little bit. And I think a lot of fans are sometimes like that. And so you need that callus to build up over time. It has to mean something. And if everybody's won, then you don't have as many of those connections anymore. I had a lot of Minnesota fans reach out and be like, hey, what about Minnesota? We haven't won a championship in forever with any of our teams. And I was like, good. I hope you never do. Not never. But I hope you keep losing. Because then there's a natural inclination to root for the Minnesota teams. And you need that. Like, it's great to have those stories, but we've had so many of those happen in the last couple of years that I don't think that's a good thing overall.
Yeah. I can see it, because I found myself, so I'm a Rangers fan. Most of my sports teams are from that area from where I grew up. But once we got to the Stanley Cup Finals, I actually found myself pulling for Edmonton, because it's been so long since a Canadian team has actually won the Stanley Cup. So it's like, to your point about that, it was like, it's kind of like, plus I think the Florida Panthers are a bunch of thugs at times, but that's a whole sidebar. And that's probably the bitter Rangers fan of me coming out for that one. But before I get you out of here, but by the way, I want everybody to remind, over at The Athletic, there's way more Chris has covered just on college football game alone. But make sure you check that out. What do you got? I know I was talking schedule with you. You have a busy ass July coming up. So, like, what's on your mind? It doesn't even have to be sports related. Just what's like your hot takes on your mind, or what do you got coming up busy wise? Your SEC visits, everything in Chris Venditti's life.
I mean, July is talking season for college football, starting in early second week of July. We've got media days. We got Big 12 and Mountain West in Vegas. We got SEC in Dallas. We got all the conferences. And so there's going to be a lot going on. I'll be trying a lot. And in the middle of that, the video game comes out. And we're going to be doing a ton of stuff around that. So it kind of just all lands at once. The season kind of gets going, so to speak, and the video game. So it's going to be a very busy July for a lot of that stuff. And so I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot. I can't believe we're already here. I feel like the season just ended like a week ago. I was just there. Michigan beat Washington. Like, it just happened. Like, how was it July already? I don't understand this.
That is the life of sports. Oh, actually, I didn't even ask you this question. So which way did you go? Did you go PS5 or Xbox X for your to upgrade so you could get
I
your...
went Xbox Series S.
Okay.
I just
Series
needed
S.
it
okay.
for this game.
Just the online version.
Didn't want to spend $500 for a console. I found this one on Facebook Marketplace for $200.
Oh, nice.
It was a great deal. And it works. It's
done.
Great. You gotta sift through a lot of crap on Facebook Marketplace before you find out what's real, what's legit. I was able to find that and I was like, that's all I need. 500 gigabytes. Only gonna put a couple of games on.
Just
there.
One game on it anyway.
I'm getting this for college football. This is for college football. I don't need to spend $500. And that's my recommendation. Because there is cross play for games. Like, you can play a PS5 friend in the game online. You can do that. What it doesn't have this year, it may have in the future, is the online cross-play dynasty. Okay. So I can't do a dynasty mode with my friend who's got a PS5. But by next year, that may be the case. So that was my kind of rationale.
I'm team Xbox slightly over. I have both at PS5, so I mean, I'll be getting it on the Xbox and make sure, like I said, you guys are getting everything Chris has put. At Chris Vanini, by the way, I didn't mention that on Twitter. I'm not calling it X. Go follow him over there. Check out all the work over The Athletic. And reminder, if you're still tuning in at this point, and in July, this podcast is the old one, new one, new stream. Make sure you look for those tweets, and we'll see you back next week with Chris Meaney. We'll be here, the other Chris. So have a good one. Thanks again to Chris.